Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 22nd of July, and I am recording at 9:36 p.m., and that is British summertime here in what was sunny London earlier today. Okay, now we are going to again have almost a two-part audio here. First, the brief summary for people on the run. And what can we say? First, Japan lost its upward momentum following the drop on Wall Street last night and in many other stock markets around the globe. And looking at the yen, well, it's improved. It's at 123.98. It'll be interesting to see if Japan gets any downside follow through here tomorrow, or steadies again. China mixed, the Shanghai Composite and Shenzhen Composite up a little bit, but the Hong Kong indices weaker, and we had weakness in the region. Australia hit hard here, down 1.61%. India up 1.15% on the Sensex index. Apparently there's some favorable monsoon news. And looking at the European, hold on here just a second. There we go. Looking at some of the European indices here today. Generally weaker. A surprising exception was Spain, which was up just under a quarter of a percentage point, but the German DAX index down 3/4 of a percentage point. UK market soft in here, down 1.5% percent, mostly selling here in Europe, but not all that massive. And the U.S., well, it closed with modest losses. They were paired somewhat towards the close. Now, Apple was interesting because you might remember, if you heard last night's audio, that it had that after-hours weakness that took it right down very close to the 120 level. Well, it opened near 122, I think it was 121.99, and then gradually rose during the day and closed just above 125. So it did not significantly challenge, let alone break that previous support near the 120 level where the rising 200-day MA is. But it certainly has been an eyebrow-raising sharp drop, and it needs upside follow-through in here. We certainly need to see it get back above 130 and hold those gains for this to continue to look like an overall lengthy consolidation prior to a resumption of Apple's good bull market. I would not write off that prospect, but we still have nervous markets, and this is still also a global corrective phase. Bonds quiet, yields fractionally a little bit lower in here today. Main additional stories: these precious metals are still weak here overall, and I'm writing about what happened earlier in the week, because there was some very heavy selling of gold on Sunday night. And that included 24 tons on the New York Globex exchange just after it opened on Sunday night. And then there were 33 tons sold at virtually the same time in Shanghai. And you know it's not going to take place in Shanghai without the government being involved in this. So why is China selling gold? Well, I'll talk about that a little more, and also write about it. A dollar a little bit firm here. Did I mention precious metals? They are lower in here again today. And commodities, commodity indices just generally weak. Okay, let's go into the bigger or a fuller audio here now. And again, I think the point we had that short-term overbought condition late last week. That certainly has not been fully corrected. It's been partially corrected by some of these stock markets. They could easily come a bit lower in here. Although I was impressed to see some of those U.S. shares that have been very much in the running recently, and indices, the NASDAQ Composite. I was impressed to see them again. Apple, the biotech index, which has been such a hot performer, they ended on the day's highs. And the VIX index. Looking at that, I thought the VIX index would be higher in here today. Well, it wasn't. It's actually at a complacent 12.10. Well, is that justified? I tend to think not. We will see. Meanwhile, Japan, a little pricey, needs some sort of consolidation, but I really do like this as a secular bull trend. China, I think it's going to be ranging for a while in here, and a lot of nervousness in that market. Government wants to get the market up, however, and I think the government will ultimately succeed, and that makes China attractive, a bit speculative, quite volatile, but I think attractive on a medium to longer term basis. And what we have here, limiting downside, I think from here on, or at this stage, limiting downside, is that very accommodative monetary policy, China's version of QE. Of course, you do have the QE in Japan. And India. Well, I'd ask that question about the monsoon. Got an email on that, which I will post here today, saying evidently the monsoon is still quite good. So those forecasts that El Nino was going to cut it short that I'd mentioned earlier in the month prove not to be correct. Keep my fingers crossed, at least not correct so far. And India had a strong day in here, as I mentioned earlier. Now, Europe has the QE. Europe is correcting an overbought condition, and I think that if Europe pulls back a little further, then it'll really look quite attractive against the background of that QE. I'm restraining myself in terms of rushing in, not wanting to rush in too soon here. Looking at Wall Street, the NASDAQ Composite Index performance still very, very good. The Russell 2000 still really quite good. We haven't seen any further deterioration in the utilities or transport indices overall. And therefore, this bull trend is still intact, despite the nervousness in this period of the year, the 6 months of the year, from May to the end of October, of general underperformance on average. That may well lead to more choppy activity. That would hardly be surprising. That's a probability, actually. That overall upward trend is still intact. And the main point is, I don't see any really big scare story that I feel is realistic. I know a lot of people are very worried about China. I think those fears are exaggerated. The Greek situation certainly is not solved, but we did not get the uncertainty of what Grexit would mean and knock-on effects there, so on. So Greece is off the front pages. I think that maybe choppy, but as we when we see weakness, if that brings down something that you like, that's an opportunity. And additionally, I wouldn't be surprised to see stronger markets by year end. Okay, let's talk about gold here now, and because that's the main additional story here this week, and gold, and of course, the other precious metals overall. But I'll concentrate on gold, and I think the others will be taking their cue from what gold actually does. Now, this certainly is a quite a clear downward break from the trading range that we had seen for gosh, the better part of a year, maybe slightly more than that. And we've seen all of these precious metals move lower. So there's a bear trend, reaffirmed, I should say, and that's quite clear on the charts overall. We also had some Chinese selling of gold. Very interesting. I've got an article on that, and I'll be writing about that here today. So I won't go through all that in the audio. But what I'm a little annoyed that I haven't done more is that in these markets, when you're involved, it's very easy to look at the day-to-day and the week-to-week activity, or at least the sort of relatively short, medium term. But to be able to stand back and look at the big picture for overall perspective, and what I think is important is that gold peaked in its last in its bull run prior to the one that started in 2000. Gold had a good bull run in the mid to late 1970s, peaked in 1980. 2 years later, we had clear evidence that Wall Street had ended another secular bull market. Gold never regained its high. It had two quite decent rallies over the subsequent years, but throughout that secular bull market in stocks, we saw really a secular bear trend in gold, which didn't bottom until 2000, when the secular bull market in equities was peaking. So the message there, in brief, a secular bull market in equities, and that's what Owen and I expect and have been talking about for really quite a long time. If that's what lies ahead over the next couple of decades or more, that does not sit well with gold. Now, that's only an example of one previous cycle here when gold has been freely traded, because gold hasn't always been freely traded, as you know well. But the charts are absolutely compelling. Look at a very long-term chart of gold, and consider what happened while stock markets were absolutely booming. And I therefore feel that one needs to be extremely cautious. I've said for a long time that gold will be much more interesting when it's lower, and that will still be the case. But will gold be able to have another bull market cycle? I doubt that, and not certainly not a might get a cyclical bull rally phase, but Will it take out, for instance, that 2011 peak, which was at 1921 in September 2011, $1,921? Will it take that out? Well, the evidence from the last secular bull market in equities is no. It won't take that out for a very, very long time. So, I think that this is a hedge that we may not want to pick up unless it gets traders. If it gets extremely oversold on a short-term basis, then you can expect quite a good bounce, and some investors may want to play that as well. But I'd be very cautious, very careful here overall. And the last thing I would do is pay up for precious metals in this environment. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.